I'd now like to turn the floor over to Fahima Damodar, who's going to introduce our speaker. Fahima is a graduate student in political science, at Brooklyn College, and she is co-founder of Women for Afghan Women. And I hope she'll tell us about her group as well as introducing our main speaker from Rwanda. Thank you.
Women for Afghan Women, it is with great respect and admiration that we welcome Tamia Fayal as our guest today. Tamia Fayal is a member of the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan. Rwanda's members are perhaps the most courageous women on God's green earth. They've been fighting for human rights of the women and children of Afghanistan for close to a quarter of a century, long before the Taliban appeared on the horizon. Founded in 1977, Rwanda campaigned for these rights, even as Afghanistan was convulsed with violent struggles between different national and international entities ending the Soviet occupation in December 1979. This did not stop these brave women, even when a number of them were arrested and their leader, Mina, was murdered allegedly by the KGB agents in Pakistan in 1987. They persisted. Rwanda worked with women in Afghanistan, as well as the millions in the refugee camps across the border in Pakistan. They ran schools, created jobs for women, ran a hospital, and counseled their traumatized and displaced sisters. The advent of the Taliban brought in a whole new dimension to Rwanda's struggle. They no longer could operate freely in Afghanistan, as women were forced to wear the burqa and banned from most jobs. Indeed, banned from leaving their homes without a male escort. However, despite these unimaginable barriers, they found ways to continue, work amongst the Afghan women. Rwanda has been involved in many different projects for Afghan women and children inside Afghanistan and for refugees in Pakistan. These projects are in the educational field, income-generating projects, especially for widows, as they do not have any other option. Without the much-needed assistance of Rwanda, the majority of these women would have turned to beggary and prostitution, or they might have committed suicide. Members of Rwanda, like Tamia, have risked their lives for the women and children of Afghanistan. Their weapons are simple, yet powerful and effective. In a country in which women are banned from attending school, forbidden to hold jobs, forced to hide their faces, Rwanda conducts illegal, clandestine schools for girls. They secretly photograph evidence of the Taliban atrocities, which are then posted onto their website, serving as the eyes of the world. Women for Afghan Women, which is a six-month-old women's collective in New York City, seeks to organize within our local Afghan community and create a safe space for different conversations about the innumerable tugs of war on Afghan women's hearts and souls. As a young Afghan-American woman, it's heart-wrenching to watch from a distance as my fellow Afghan sisters were robbed of their basic human rights and their voices silenced. It is, however, in Rwanda and in their courage, and in the courage of Rwanda members, that I find hope for Afghan women against extremism and the misogynist rule. On behalf of all the members of Women for Afghan Women, I commend Rwanda for their outstanding and unrelenting commitment to the cause of peace and justice. Please welcome our main speaker, Tamia Fayal.
On behalf of the Revolutionary Association of Women of Afghanistan, I would like to thank the 23 co-sponsoring organizations and groups for their efforts and hard work in making this event possible. And I also would like to thank Anne and Fahima for their wonderful speech and introduction. Since this is the first public event in New York, on behalf of Rawa, once again I would like to also share the grief of the lives lost in the horrible accident of 11th September. The people of Afghanistan, we believe that can understand that grief and sorrow than people in any other country, since they have been through those sufferings and tragedies for years. This trip was organized by our different supporters and the East Coast as well as the West Coast in this country months ago before the 11th September. And the main purpose of the trip was raising awareness about the plight of women in Afghanistan and the wars of resistance, Rawa. But it happened to me at this time, which is indeed the right time. It is very unfortunate that it is now only after the 11th September that Afghanistan all of a sudden became the center of the world's attention. While for years, as Amnesty International said, Afghanistan was the largest forgotten tragedy in the world. And all of a sudden now it's the center of attention, which in a way is good that finally Afghanistan and people, especially women, got an attention by the world community. But as I said, it's also very tragic. I'm sure that by now you've all heard about Afghanistan and what is going on there. But whenever people hear about our country, the questions that they have in their minds are why all these tragedies and barbarism in Afghanistan, when they started, why the people do not resist against it. Are these brutalities the representation of their culture, tradition, and religion? And especially I think that the question that comes to people's minds is why people do not rise up against this if they do not agree with this situation? That I will be glad to address some of these issues during the time that is allocated to me this evening. Afghanistan is the heart of Asia, according to a Pakistani poet. And because of that location, throughout its more than 5,000 years history, it has been invaded by different powers, from Alexander the Great to Genghis to Mongols to British, that invaded Afghanistan three times, and finally Russia. The people of Afghanistan have always raised and fought against invaders and defeated them. And they always raised with their empty hands, but they defeated the invaders. Unfortunately, the Russia had not learned from the history of Afghan people and their bravery, and they invaded our country in 1979. I'm going through that period because what is going on now in Afghanistan, or what has been going on in Afghanistan for years, is a direct consequence of the Russian invasion. Had they not invaded our country, we would have not gone through all these miseries. The world would not have been witness of the 11th September incident. So I think it's important to go a little bit back to how all these started. So the Russian troops invaded Afghanistan in 1979 with almost 100,000 military troops, thinking that they would occupy Afghanistan and reach to the dreams and the goals that they had. But they got stuck in Afghanistan. The people of Afghanistan from the very first days rose against them from the villages, from the cities, at different levels. Especially university students were very much active and involved in the resistance war against the Russians. This resistance war lasted for 10 years, and as a result of that, we lost 2 million people. people. 1.5 million people became disabled, mainly of the landmines and the war. Around 5 to 6 million people took refuge to different countries in the world, but mainly to the two neighboring countries, Pakistan and Iran. And they left Afghanistan, destroying many parts, especially in the villages. So while the Russians directly had their troops in invasion of Afghanistan, other countries such as Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, USA, France, England, had indirectly their hands in our country. And that was by supporting in creating the fundamentalist. When we say fundamentalist, be the Taliban or the other fundamentalist groups who had the power before the Taliban in Afghanistan, we mean all those who are misogynist, anti-democracy, anti-civilization, terrorists, independent on foreign countries and foreign powers in their nature. That is the definition of Rawa about the Afghan fundamentalism, for what they have proved themselves. So these fundamentalists, which were 7 parties in Pakistan and 8 parties at that time in Iran, were supported by the countries that I mentioned. The only reason to support and create them was to enable them to fight against Russia and to make Afghanistan as a base now, without any intention that if these fundamentalists, which from the very beginning they had that nature, take the power in Afghanistan, what is going to happen to that country, which was already in war for 10 years with Russia. And unfortunately that happened when in 1992 they took the power. There were many different parties belonging to different countries who started internal fighting against each other. And as a result of that, they committed such heinous, unprecedented crimes in the history of Afghanistan and the history of humanity, or at least in the modern history. For example, the Museum of Afghanistan, the hospitals, the schools were looted during their time as a result of their internal fighting. There were many cases of rape, of abduction, of suicide, of forced marriages by the commanders of the different group, the different fundamentalist groups. But what makes that time very much even more tragic is that period was forgotten in the history of Afghanistan. That regime was an established, recognized government of Afghanistan. There's no difference between them and the Taliban, except the Taliban made some of the restrictions official of them. But the Taliban were not recognized by most of the countries in the world, just because they had some restrictions on women. But you don't know why that all these countries recognize that brutal regime, which in some ways were more worse than Taliban. They even raped a 17-year-old mother or a 4-year-old girl. And you don't know that why the world community and United Nations recognize that brutal regime. And in fact, the world, the media kept silent about that time. Usually people think that the tragedy in Afghanistan began with Taliban in 1996. That was the reason that I had to go back a bit further during the other fundamentalists. Because unfortunately, it was only Rawa that documented the crimes and atrocities happened at that time and exposing them and condemning them through its different activities, mainly demonstrations or statements. But the rest of the organizations of the world, unfortunately, were silent. So when the different countries realized that with the Taliban, that force of what they call themselves movement was Taliban's movement. Taliban means religious students. Most of these religious students or Taliban were orphans of the Soviet war, that in a very young age they were taken to the Pakistani religious schools. They were trained, they were raised, and they were brainwashed in those religious schools. For example, from the very beginning, they were raised, they were brainwashed about the women. What is a woman? A woman is like your object. A woman is one that you can do whatever you want. It's like your land. They are half of men. They do not have the same wisdom and brain as men. So that's why when they took the power, they, with that hatred, they forced all the restrictions on women. So this Taliban, for the first time, emerged in some parts of Afghanistan in 1994. In 1996, they took the control of the capital city, Kabul, and soon they seized most of the other parts in Afghanistan. There were two main reasons that they swiftly could go ahead and take the control from the other groups fighting them. One was people were fed up with the crimes of the other fundamentalist groups, and they thought that the Taliban would be any better than those parties. And suddenly, in some parts, they came under the name of the former king of Afghanistan, again bringing in peace and stability to the people, what people wanted and want. But when they took the power, as for them, nothing was left in the country to destroy. Instead, they imposed their restrictions, not only on women, but also on men. They have a very long list of restrictions on women, as well as on men, in general restrictions, but I'm going to mention some of the main ones. They ordered all men to have long beard. They've ordered them to be dressed in traditional clothing. All men have to pray 5 times a day in the mosques, and that prescribed time of praying, while they can do it at home or wherever they want. And it's not practiced in any Muslim country in the world. It has not been mentioned in Quran and Islam, nowhere. It's just the interpretation of Taliban themselves about Quran, as that's only need for them, that they think that they will be able to impose their wishes and objectives on the people. They've banned all the learned institutions for girls and women. They call these learning institutions gateways to hell. They have ordered all women to be fully covered with burqa, you can see here in front of me. They have ordered women to be accompanied by a close man relative, such as brother, son, husband, or father. They even ordered women to paint their windows dark so they could not be seen by the men from outside. And there are many general restrictions, like photography is banned, TV, cinema were banned, music is banned, while they themselves enjoy all these things. They themselves watch movies, they themselves listen to the music, but those are banned just for the people. They even ordered us people to use camels, as during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, so there was not any way for camels. Camel was used instead. So they used people to use that in this 21st century. But they themselves use the most luxurious cars. They themselves have their websites, they use the internet, and all the other modern technologies. As I said, these are the only ways that they think that they can oppress the people and implement their goals and wishes by that force. There is always one question that whether in this situation there has been a resistance from the people, and especially women, or not. First of all, I should say that the people of Afghanistan, especially nowadays, or after the fundamentalists took the power, have been going through the worst times and time or experiences in the history that so far we have been witness in our country. If during the other invaders they fought with their empty hands, today with their empty stomachs. And there was really not much hope from these people to do something as they did in the past against others. Afghanistan has been in war for more than 2 decades, and as a result of that, we even have lost the infrastructure. In this 21st century, Afghanistan is a country without any political, social, and economic infrastructure. There's no bank system in Afghanistan. There's no communication system in Afghanistan. So all these facts and the restrictions that they have imposed on people, and especially on women, have driven majority of the population, especially women, that too in the major cities, and women used to take part actively in the society before, as teachers, as doctors, as engineers, as lawyers, and all of a sudden they were all ordered to sit at home, have driven them to with psychological problems. According to a statistic, 90% of Afghan women suffer from mental and psychological problems. And we believe that if tomorrow we have a peaceful and stable country and government, it will not take Afghanistan very long to rebuild the country. Of course, we will not be able to get back the heritages that were lost during the internet fighting, for example, the statues that were destroyed by the Taliban. But the country can be rebuilt, the hospitals, the schools, or whatever we would need. But it would take us a very long time to rebuild people mentally, as they have been destroyed in a really incredible way mentally. They do not have any hope. But still, there have been resistance by people, and especially by women. Even under the Taliban, with all the restrictions that they have, we believe that where there is oppression and suppression, there is resistance, and that is seen in Afghanistan. Women, in many parts, as individuals, run home-based classes for girls, which is not allowed by Taliban. There have been many cases that these classes were found by Taliban. The teachers were put into prison, or they were beaten up in front of the students, and they were ordered not to run the classes anymore. But they did not give up. Today, in the different cities, even different villages in a very rural area, such classes are run by women, which is really out of the control of the Taliban. Usually, they are reflected as a sign of change in Taliban's mentality. Sometimes they talk about the moderate Taliban. There is no moderate Taliban, I think. There is no change in their mentality, and it's not possible to change that mentality, the way that they are raised, the way that they are brainwashed. But it is the resistance of people and women who have changed the situation a little bit. Well, there have been many cases that women in public, when they were insulted because they had shown part of their face, they took out their burqas, the veil, and threw them on the face of the Taliban, meaning that it could have any consequence, including going to prison and being executed. But they could not stand that insult, and they showed their anger and trying their waves were broadcast on the face of the Taliban, or even slapping the Taliban. There have been many such cases where no woman is allowed to go outside alone. But if you go to Afghanistan, you will find many women walking on the streets alone, because there are many women who do not have any male privilege. Just in the capital city, Kabul, we have more than 70,000 widows that they don't have anyone to accompany them. And they have to go out, even if that's for bravery, in order to find something, find a living to feed the children. And this is again not a change in Taliban's mentality. They cannot control. Women have to go outside alone. When I was in Afghanistan 3 years ago, I talked with many women, including a woman who run five home-based classes in five different parts in the capital city, including one class called Child Home Children. She was a teacher before. Her husband was killed during the other fundamentalist. And she told me that she had to wake up at 7, or her first class started at 7 in the morning, and the last class was at 7 in the evening. Taliban discovered one of her classes, and they ordered to ban the class. But she was very brave and courageous. She went to the Taliban and told them that I don't have any other option. I would die, my children would die. If I don't do this, should I go to bigamy and prostitution? Should I commit suicide? Should I experience a gradual death? Should I see my children dying in front of my eyes? And then somehow she was allowed to run with the class. Of course, she told them that it was like mainly a religious class, as that's the only thing that's allowed. But the most mobilized and organized form of resistance is the work, the existence, and the struggle of our organization, RAWA, which Fahima talked a little bit about RAWA and its work, but I'm glad to elaborate more on our activities. RAWA is a 24-year-old organization established by a woman named Mina, the founding leader, who was assassinated in 1987 by KGB agents with the help of fundamentalist groups in Pakistan. The only reason that she was assassinated is because she, as a woman, she had a powerful voice, and her powerful voice, her dedication, her commitment, were not tolerable to the enemies from the both sides, the Soviets, or the puppet regime, and the fundamentalists. And they plotted her assassination, thinking that they would stop RAWA in the women's movement in Afghanistan. But obviously, they were wrong. RAWA, as we know, had always told her students and her followers that even if she's not on the Amangas, RAWA should continue, because it was established, it came into being according to a need. The need at that time, although was not as it is today, but still women in many parts of Afghanistan did not have their rights, even some of their basic rights. We did not have a Russian invasion in the fundamentalists at that time, but in order to achieve those rights for women, especially in the rural areas, there was the need of such an independent organization of women. But when the Russians invaded, Mina and RAWA believed that until we do not have our national emancipation, we cannot talk just about women's national, or women's emancipation. And that was the point of RAWA turned to a more Rawa took part in the resistance war alongside with other people, mainly in creating schools, high schools for girls and for boys, and a hospital for refugee women and children in Pakistan. Rawa had to transfer part of its activities into Pakistan among refugees because the situation was very much difficult inside the country that we could not continue. And also, we had almost 2 million refugees in Pakistan, that there was the need of establishing schools, hospital, or literacy classes for women and children in Pakistan. Unfortunately, because of the very difficult situation in Iran, we could not have our activities in that country among refugees. So mainly the focus of Rawa in exiles among refugees in Pakistan. And even after the Russians left our country and the fundamentalists took the power, again Rawa believed that we have to get rid of the fundamentalists in order to achieve what we struggle for, which are freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of belief, secular democracy, and women's rights, and human rights. It's not possible to achieve these goals with fundamentalists on power. For what they have proved their nature and what they have done in the past and are doing currently. This is the main reason that Rawa calls itself a political organization. Unfortunately, this is the only women organization in Afghanistan which has political agenda standpoints and activities. In that regard, we always have demonstrations, functions, statements, our publication through which we have exposed the criminal nature of the different enemies, especially towards women, and condemn them and also let the outside world know of what is going on in our country. Even at the time that no one would talk about the fundamentalism which took the power in 1992, Rawa and more the countries who supported and created them, that they're going to be a very dangerous phenomenon. Not only for Afghanistan, not only for that region, but for the world. Rawa, in fact, had anticipated the 11th September incident. Rawa had warned the different countries supporting them that these are such creatures that even would not care about those who once supported them financially and militarily. And they're going to be a slap on their faces, which, unfortunately, that happened. And it's only now that the world is scared of the fundamentalism as terrorists. And we know that fundamentalism is such a danger now to Pakistan, the country which for years have been supportive towards the fundamentalists of the other kind, the Jihadis, and then the Taliban. And now, that country is afraid because it's very possible that government could be toppled by its fundamentalists. And how worse regime than Afghanistan. Rawa is also an organization which many humanitarian projects, both inside Afghanistan and in Pakistan. I should mention that in both countries we operate totally underground. In the situation that we have in these two countries, and having our political agenda, we cannot hope to have open activities, except once in a while, like the demonstrations and some of the functions or Senegal or magazines that happen in public, and that is also by taking a great risk. Usually, our demonstrations have been attacked by Pakistani Naq and Taliban. And as I said, those are taking risks. But the risks of our activities have always been what as Taliban always try to find a path, rather as well. Which serves barely more than 1,000 girls in different parts of Afghanistan. We have literacy classes for women in both countries. RAWA, as a women organization, has always had its concentration on educating women in our country, because we have rarely 5% of women who are able to read and write. And we believe to give awareness to women about themselves as human beings, about their potential, about what they can do in their society, in the world, in their families, and in order to give them that awareness, even the very basic awareness, we have to educate them first. For that, we have many literacy classes for women in both countries. RAWA also has integrated projects, which are usually carpet weaving and other handicraft centers. And these projects serve mainly widows inside the country. As I mentioned before, we have many widows, thousands, hundreds and thousands of them. That if there are not such projects, most of them do not have any other option. There have been already thousands of women going to beggary and prostitution as the only ways to survive. Even women who in the past have very decent jobs as teachers, as lawyers, as engineers, or even doctors, but today no option is left for them. There's an alarming rate of cases of suicide among women, especially in their 20s, because they do not find any other option. That is the only way to get out of the tragedies. So RAWA also provides hope to these women who are mentally distraught by mainly getting them involved in our projects and helping them in whatever way we can. We also have healthcare services, especially for women and children in the rural areas, as well as in the cities. As in many parts of Afghanistan, most of the hospitals are destroyed, or if there are any left, we do not have any medical equipment in those hospitals. And people die of the very critical diseases. The average age in Afghanistan is 43, and mainly the deaths are because of lack of doctor, lack of medicine, and medical equipment. Afghanistan has the highest mortality rate in the world. 15% of the Afghan children die before reaching the age of 5. And they die of very treatable diseases just because they do not have any access. We have an hospital in Quetta, one of the cities in Pakistan, which barely served 300 to 400 women and children. But many years ago, we had to close it down because of the financial problems. And of course, that was very, very painful for us to close down that hospital, as we had thousands and hundreds of women coming to us asking us to reopen the hospital, but we could not. Luckily, now we have supporters in this country, an organization called Afghan Women's Mission, which is based in California, that has already raised some money, and they are still trying to raise the money to reopen that hospital again for the refugee women and children. And these projects are also carried on among refugees in different camps or in different, even some urban areas where we have many refugees. In Pakistan, there are hundreds and thousands of children at the age of 6 or 7 that they're the only breadwinners in the family. And these children never have any access We've talked to many of them, and have told us that education or just a simple pencil in a simple notebook are the dreams that they did not think that would ever come true in their lives. They think it's too much luxurious for them. So God provides those children with free education. We call them children of garbage, as from early morning, most of them have to go and look in the garbage heap for a piece of paper, and late in the evening they will sell the paper and earn some money. And during a day, one day, they earn a dollar, they're very lucky. So Brown provides them with free education, but even if sometimes they have difficulties in getting those children in our education projects, not because they were not interested, or not because the families did not know the value of the education, but they told us that if they spend 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours at school, who can be the breadwinner in the family? That even for a while, Rabbi had to provide some of the families with some financial support in order to get their children to carry their classes and convince them that education is also very much important and they can do much more if they are educated. Rabbi also has a website. And established its website in 1997. It's www.rawa.org. And it was just after 1997 that we were able to be heard and to be seen as a resistance in that corner of the world. Usually when people look on the web about Afghanistan, they find our website. And for most of them, it's unbelievable that in that country, especially with all those restrictions on women, there is the voice of resistance, which operates even inside the country in a very dangerous and difficult situation. And this website, not only help us raise awareness about the plight of our country and about our work, but also it was helpful to raise financial support for our different projects, as Rawa does not get any regular support by many NGOs or governments, because it is a political organization, and in many cases it has very strong standpoints. So most of our financial support comes through the individuals from the different parts of the world. That usually just by visiting our website and learning about us and our activities, they contribute to our work and struggle. But also, internet has been, in our website, has been such a great source of hope and strength and energy, not only for raw members, but also for the women, other Afghan women that we have contact with. The women that I mentioned before did not have any hope before, or those who still do not have any hope. And through our website, mainly through the emails, the very sympathetic emails that we receive from people, especially women from the different countries, we translate them into main languages, usually in Afghanistan, Persian and Pashto, and give them to the other women. Also, to members of our the other women, just to tell them that we are not alone. We're not forgotten anymore. We have the support of the people in the rest of the world. And we're very happy that at least Rawa, this voice of resistance and the plight of Afghan women is known through this amazing tool, through the internet. That we know that if tomorrow anything happens to Rawa, because Rawa, even in this situation, is in Afghanistan, running its projects, or our women are in Pakistan. Although they have the possibilities to get out of their country, especially from Afghanistan coming to Pakistan, but most of our women decided to stay in Afghanistan and be alongside the people, especially in the situation that they need us the most. And we know that our members can also be victims as the ordinary population in Afghanistan. But at least we are happy that people know about us, about our struggle. And they can keep us up. And that is why I'm very happy that we can see the other America who welcomes and supports the other Afghanistan. Thank you very much.
Made for